Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The oldest privately owned aquarium west of the Mississippi is right here in our neighborhood in Seaside. It is solely funded by admissions, and today we're going to learn more about their mission, their educational outreach. It's harbor seal pupping season. I am delighted to have on the show today Keith Chandler, who is the manager and has been so for 47 years. That's amazing. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Tiffany Booth. She is the assistant manager, and she has been with the Seaside Aquarium for 25 years. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning.
They are both ambassadors to Creatures of the Sea. And before we start talking about the Seaside Aquarium, let's learn a little bit about each of them. So, Keith, do you want to start off and tell us a bit about yourself, please?
I'm an Oregon native, born in Hood River, moved to Seaside when I was six, and grew up in Seaside and worked around the area. And like 47 years ago, I decided that the aquarium was where I wanted to focus my efforts.
Wow, 47 years. You've seen some changes, but yet the footprint of the building, this building is still the same location, everything, but lots of changes over 47 years, I imagine.
Yeah, our mission has changed quite a bit. We do a lot more outreach and educational programs than we did when I first started in 1979.
Wow. And Tiffany, please tell us a bit about your background, yourself.
Well, I was born in Alaska, grew up in Alaska, moved here, lived in Astoria for a while, didn't even know that there was an aquarium locally. My sister actually worked for the aquarium before I did. She worked for a whopping 1 week. And then I started working at the aquarium just right out of high school, and I've been here ever since.
And what is the Seaside Aquarium? Let's hear a little bit about its founding and history and what people might expect to see or, experience when they go there.
Well, it started out, the building was built in 1924 as a saltwater swimming pool. And that didn't survive the Depression. It was remodeled and opened in 1937 as the aquarium. What we have a large variety of local fish that you can see. Our most popular thing is the harbor seals. All of our seals were born here at the aquarium. They're like fourth and fifth generation captive born animals. So they would not survive anywhere else, or in the wild they wouldn't. They might survive at another facility, but they wouldn't know how to take care of themselves out in the wild.
But the aquarium was founded by a family, and the family still owns the aquarium, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a corporation, and three of the members on the board are like great-grandchildren of the people who designed it. So yeah, it's still, the family still has a huge interest in, and they own the building and land.
Okay, and I know you're solely funded by admissions, but I know you just redid your mission statement. Could one of you tell us the mission statement of the Seaside Aquarium?
Connecting people of all ages to the wonders of Pacific Northwest marine life through engaging interactive experiences to inspire learning and stewardship.
Well, that's right. And right now we're in the season and spring when there's, wildlife and there are harbor seal pups on the beach. So part of your mission is, protecting, educating, and you also sometimes have to deal with a situation where there's, a harbor seal on the beach. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we've been part of the Marine Mammal Stranding Network for nearly 30 years now. And a lot of what we do is educate folks about marine mammals on the coast and the beaches that they utilize as a resting spot. So right now we're about ready to enter, like you said, into harbor seal pupping season. So the moms will leave these newly born harbor seals on the beach while they go out and hunt. The newborns, they can't really keep up with mom. Like all newborns, they need a lot of rest. And so our job is really just to try to keep people out of that equation. We go out, we put up signs asking folks to leave the harbor seal alone. You know, he looks cute, he looks abandoned, but he's just fine. So we ask people to leave him alone so they can get reunited with their moms later.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talking about seals, I mean, and sea, well, seals and sea lions, a lot of folks get those confused. Can you tell us about, because what you have is you have harbor seals and they're a big attraction. And I was just at the aquarium a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, it is really, it's really wonderful to hear the kids laughing and interacting and getting to have that experience. So, but what is the difference between sea lions and seals?
One of the main differences that people will notice is the size. I mean, sea lions get up to 800 pounds. Harbor seals get to maybe 250 at the most. Sea lions are what you'll see on the docks in Astoria. You will see harbor seals from time to time in Astoria, but you'll usually see them, you'll just see their heads pop up. They're not as comfortable around people as the sea lions. Sea lions will walk right up to you and not care about people at all. Sea lions are more like dogs. Harbor seals are more like cats. They're curious, but they're very cautious. So you'll see their head pop up and look at you from the distance. So if you see a little head popping up that's like gray, black spots, that's a harbor seal. Sea lions will be big, brown, have longer flippers, make a lot more noise than the harbor.
Right, that's right. We know that, we know the sea lions. What are seals? How is their bark different?
They're different.
We can't hear you. I'm sorry, Keith.
They don't vocalize nearly as much as the sea lions. But if you really want to hear this, they'll kind of go bah, 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 something like that. Not the or. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. So. Next year is going to be your 90th anniversary. You already have kind of ongoing things. When we first talked, I learned that obviously most of your funds which come in are coming from visitors. However, when locals visit the aquarium, they not only can learn things about some of the newest, latest things that are happening in the marine world, but also it supports, you know, the ability of the aquarium to continue doing what it's doing, because you have local programs with like Clatsop County field trips for all the schools are free. I mean, so what are some of the programs that you do within the community?
So a couple of years ago in 2019, we took over Treasure the Beach. It is a monthly beach cleanup that occurs on the first Saturday of every month. It was started over 20 years ago by a local group, the Beach Drive Buccaneers. And after, you know, they were all kind of in they're getting older. So they wanted to retire and they were looking for a group to pick that up. And so we've been doing that ever since. We'll also facilitate private beach cleanups. So groups that just want to come in and do a beach cleanup outside of that Treasure the Beach time, that first Saturday of every month. We also run the Seaside Beach Discovery Program. It's a free program in the summer. We set up on the weekends in front of the Seaside Aquarium. And this program is geared towards visitors and locals. The idea of this program is to educate folks about the ecology of an open sandy beach. To get them to look at the place that they recreate as a little bit more than just a place to throw frisbees and footballs and build sandcastles, but that it's a living, thriving environment. What else do we do, Keith?
Oh, sorry, Keith, we can't hear you.
We're actively involved with
the... Whoops. Sorry, I don't know what's happening with the sound, but... I'm not hearing anything. Sorry, Barry. Apologies, everyone. We're having some little technological issues here.
Can you hear me, Keith, now?
Yes, now we can hear you. Thank you.
We're actively involved with a couple of local nonprofits. The Friends of Haystack Rock, we're really involved in that. And that's a a program we the aquarium donates to. Every year, the last Sunday of February, we do what we call the main event. It's in honor of a past board member named Neil Main. All of our admissions from that day go to a few nonprofits that Neil Main picks. This year we donated to Wildlife Center of the North Coast, the Friends of Haystack Rock, and the North Coast Land Conservancy. We're also a drop-off center for birds for the Wildlife Center, because people find birds on the beach and they don't know how to get to the Wildlife Center. So they'll drop them at the aquarium, and then the center can pick them up. We're kind of like a staging place for local birds.
And there are, unfortunately, a lot of human interactions with wildlife. And again, in the spring, there's the breeding season and all of that. But overall, would you say that there are fewer strandings or more strandings, or how has that all gone through the years?
Well, it depends on your definition of the term stranding.
Well, that's true. Or injured wildlife, or, you know, interactions. Yes.
I mean, technically every animal that washes up dead is called a stranding. So we'll have more of those. When you have more live animals, you're going to have more dead animals. So it sounds kind of strange, but if we didn't see dead animals, then things would not be working the way they're supposed to work. There wouldn't be as many wild animals in the wild. So when you see more dead animals, that's a perfect part of nature, unless it's human interaction that's killing them. So, but the live strandings, I think the public has really improved on their knowledge to leave them alone, at least the locals. They know that they're supposed to be left alone, and they know to call us to get advice on any animal they see. So that there has become a very educational part of our mission, just to let people know that them resting on the beach is a perfectly natural thing, because it was like their beach long before it was ours, if indeed it is.
Well, that's very true. What changes have you seen in, you said that it looks like maybe people are more aware now, there's more education, and so they're more knowledgeable. But gosh, Keith, over 47 years, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen to the beach environment itself?
The biggest change that I've seen is that everybody has a cell phone and everybody can report anything they see instantly and can send us a photo. Years ago, you know, we don't get a report till they get back home and like, oh yeah, I saw this animal 2 days ago. Right now, the information is instant. And that's made our job a lot easier. So people can send us a photo, we can assess the situation, give them a call back, have them calm down, know that this is just an animal taking a nap, and they don't have to grab it and take it to their bathtub to save it.
There's also a lot more visitorship. I mean, I know the Oregon Coast Visitors Association is really working on educational and how to, you know, to be respectful of tide pools and of, you know, marine life. So it's over the years, though, there's the visitorship has increased to the Oregon coast for sure. And so I'm sure you're seeing obviously the effects of that, and whether or not it's, you know, litter, which we obviously know would harm wildlife and obviously the environment itself. So what's your perspective on that, Keith?
Well, anytime you have more people, you're going to have more business. And like I said,
we're going, sorry, Keith, we can't hear you now again. Sorry.
So anytime you have more people, you're going to have more visitors. And as long as the population keeps growing, that's going to keep happening. It's nice that people are more aware. Most of the people that come down to help with our beach cleanups are from Portland. And they come down here because they're the ones that come and visit and want to make sure they take care of the beach. It's not just the locals that take an ownership for the beach. It's a lot of people from all around the state.
Oh, that's good. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm talking with Keith Chandler. He's been the manager of the Seaside Aquarium, the oldest privately owned aquarium west of the Mississippi. He's been there for 47 years. We also have Tiffany Booth. She is the assistant manager. She's been there for 25 years. What are people going to see and experience when they come to the Seaside Aquarium? I know we have the rock stars, the harbor seals, but let's talk a little bit about what people can see there. You have a darling little gift shop. You have a bunch of educational information. You have tanks, and you have ways for people to interact. So what are they going to experience when they go to the aquarium?
Kids, I think, put it perfectly when he described the aquarium, and he described it as a water museum. And I really love that term, because if you look around, you kind of step back in history a little bit with the building being over 100 years old. And when you realize that when you're inside of the aquarium, you're actually standing in the middle of this old pool, it's kind of just a cool feeling. We have 35 glass front tanks, and they feature critters that you'll find right out here in Oregon. So just right off the coast in the tide pools, in the surf. So we've got surf perch, we've got Dungeness crab. Everyone's favorite, of course, is that giant Pacific. And then we've got a couple of touch tanks that have marine life that you'll find and interact with in the tide pool. Anemones, hermit crabs, sea stars, things like that. And then we always have a staff member inside that can answer any questions you might have. A lot of people will come to us with their phones and pictures that they found.
Sorry, Tiffany, I'm sorry, we're losing you a little bit.
So yeah, a lot of people will come to us with photographs that they've taken on the beach, just like a critter or something weird, and ask us what we think it is. And most of the time we can answer, which is really fun. Those are always kind of fun little tidbits we get throughout our day. But yeah, it's just a really fun place to come learn about marine life right out here in Oregon.
Well, let's talk about the harbor seals, because people, you can actually, they can splash you. You can get, you're pretty close to them, and you can feed them. And I know that when I was there, there was just a lot of giggling and laughter and excitement on the part of, you know, kids and families who really wouldn't have the opportunity to be close to these, you know, beautiful marine animals.
Yeah, and there's something interesting that people don't realize is the harbor seals love the people too. When we had to be shut down for COVID, they were bored and just, you know, they got to see us every day, but they didn't get to see the public. When the public comes in, they're excited to see the people and interact with them. It's something that the harbor seals really enjoy doing. If they didn't want to do that, they could just go lay down, and there's another tank in a large area for them. They could just hang out in the back, but they enjoy the interaction.
Well, that's interesting. All right. And you have how many harbor seals do you have right now?
Right now we have 10.
Uh-huh. And I think when I asked Tiffany earlier about, you know, the giant Pacific octopus, sometimes you change your displays out and you have some, because you have back areas that obviously the public can't see. Do you ever have to rehabilitate an animal who maybe has something happen, you know, in the tank? Or, I mean, you're obviously checking them every day.
So yeah, with the fish, if we have somebody that's not feeling well, we have holding tanks in the back so we can pull them off display if we feel that having them on display is more stressful to the critter. And so if we feel like they are needing some isolation, we do have a big area in the back that we can do that with.
And all right, here's the question. Who do you have a favorite? I mean, okay, the harbor seals, disarmingly cute. But let's say if you couldn't choose the harbor seals, what other, you know, sea critter is it that really touches your heart and that you feel a connection with?
Well, everybody, you know, everybody likes the octopus second after the harbor seals, and they're great. But we have some fish in here right now that are called spiny lump suckers. So if you have a name like spiny lump sucker, you're special to begin with. So they're one of my favorites.
What about you, Tiffany? Sorry, we can't hear you.
My favorites right now is actually going to probably be another type of fish. It's called a decorated war bonnet. And they have just the most unique look to them. They have this very elaborate, almost looks like a headdress, hence the name war bonnet. But they hang out in barnacle shells, and you just see their little heads popping out, and they're just the cutest little fish.
Who names these fish? Like, I mean, scientists who study them, and we're still discovering new species, I would imagine.
Well, we don't name them.
No.
And I haven't discovered any new species. If so, I'd probably call it a Tiffany fish or something like that. another critter we just got is called a basket star. It's a type of sea star that's really spectacular. So if someone wants to Google basket star, picture can describe it a lot better than I can. It kind of looked like tumbleweed. Incredible sea stars.
I mean, what's your favorite thing about when you have, you know, when you have a lot of folks, and of course it's been spring break, and I don't know, when is your busiest season actually? I mean, when are typically people here the most? We'd think the summer probably.
The summer is busier because it lasts longer than spring break. Spring break is actually more intense because it's only a few weeks long. But the thing that I like the most is I like to sit out on the prom, one, because I don't have to work as hard and everybody else is doing the work. But I get to listen to people that come out of the aquarium and how they're laughing and having and talking about what a great time they had. When you can go to a job where you make kids laugh and have fun, that's pretty rewarding.
And who knows how many marine biologists happened because of a visit, you know, like a camping trip can change a person's life. If you get up close to a marine animal, that's can change your life too. And Tiffany, what's your kind of takeaway from all the years you've had, 25 years working with animals? What see these wonderful sea animals? What is your thought about how they communicate and the intelligence level? Because the people have said, oh, my fish is really smart. So how are we even judging that? What does that mean?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. But I think for me, it's hard to put a value on that intelligence because we all interpret intelligence different ways. And so if we can find a way to communicate with something and we feel that thing is communicating with us, we deem it intelligent, but we all have different ways of communicating. So I have fish that I find are very, very smart, and I have fish that I find not as smart. Kind of depends.
Right. Well, and by the way, why don't we eat eels? I mean, you have some wolf eels. But there are cultures that eat a lot of eels, but I don't think it, I don't know about, I mean, we eat, obviously you have rockfish, we eat rockfish. I mean, so what of the fish that you have are actual fish that people eat and then fish that people don't? Okay, Keith, sorry, we can't hear you again.
I've talked to people who have eaten smoked wolf eel and they really like it. I just never have. It just hasn't caught on from a commercial point of view. So I imagine you can eat anything. It's just whether you want to eat it twice or not.
Well, that's true. Just trying something. You're right. That's true. So of all of the years that you've been there, Keith, did you have a favorite experience or something that stands out or makes you think, oh, this is why we do this work. We were able to save this critter or, you know, we were able to educate. What is it that really speaks to you?
I don't know. There's been so many. Years ago, we had a fur seal in that we were able to stabilize, get off to a rehab center. This was like in 1980, before we were even involved with the stranding network. We were able to to make a difference with one fur seal, and it went on to Point Defiance, and they rehabbed it and released it. And that was pretty rewarding.
Well, you're doing educational outreach programs, and next year is your 90th anniversary. So what are some of the things that people can look forward to with the Seaside Aquarium with this big anniversary coming up?
Well, we're still doing a lot of planning. My board about a month ago had a meeting and decided one of the things they wanted to do in honor of the 90th is they're going to open up a scholarship fund through Oregon State University where students can apply to get a scholarship from the Seaside Aquarium to go to Oregon State. That was pretty nice. And we do plan on the anniversary, our 90th anniversary, to roll our prices back to what they were in 1937, which would be 15 cents for adults and 10 cents for children. It'll be tough math on our kids that work here because they don't have a hard time making change now anyway. We'll get by it.
Good. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Any last things you'd like the listening audience to know about the Seaside Aquarium and your outreach, educational outreach programs or events, anything you'd like the listening audience to know?
Well, it's just we're proud to be able to do it. And one more thing we didn't touch base on is Tiffany has developed these things called Beach Discover Cards. They talk about a lot of things people can find on the beach. And if you stop by the aquarium, just look inside the door to the right. There's about 20, 25 of them there that you can pick up and take anytime you want to learn more about the stuff you just walked by.
That's great. Thank you, Tiffany, for doing that. Anything you'd like the listening audience to know that we didn't talk about? Sorry, we can't hear you. Sorry, Tiffany.
If you haven't been to the aquarium in a while, especially locals, I would encourage people to come and visit us again. You know, things do change, displays change, and those lump suckers and basket stars are worth it.
Okay, well, thank you both so much. I'm so sorry about the technological issues today. My apologies to you and to the listening audience as well. Things happen. It's wabi-sabi life. Perfectly imperfect, imperfectly perfect. Thank you, Viri, for being our engineer this morning. My gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. And let's take a moment right now to all together stop, take a very deep breath. It is healing. And during our chaotic times, we need to find ways to bring healing and peace into our world and our personal world. So let's just all take a very deep healing breath right now. And then we can focus with gratitude on the things that are going well in our lives. There always will be things that aren't, but when we focus on those things, then we are able to be more present for those we love. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being you, doing the best you can.